James 3. He says in verse 1, "My brethren, be not many masters," and we understand that word to be the same as teachers, "knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." So the desire to teach, to preach, is a wonderful desire. Paul said the office of a bishop is a good thing. But we have to understand that when we stand before God, there's an extra judgment involved. It's more severe. What we have taught, we must apply ourselves to learning so we can apply ourselves to teaching. Verse 2, "In many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body." If we have control over our words, it indicates that we are in control of our whole self. That's how hard it is for us to tame our tongues. How many of us have said something that we wish we had it? Every one of us. All right, today, yeah. Every one of us. Or, you know, and it wasn't necessarily that it was vindictive or that it was mean. How many of us ever said something and after we said it, we thought that was just dumb? I still remember things I said that were dumb 25 years ago. It really has a way of affecting our memory and affecting our emotion when we say things that either turns out to be silly or foolish or mean. Sometimes we say things not intending for it to be mean because we didn't think about it before we said it. And then after we think about it, we realize how cruel those words were. And so James says, if we can control our tongue, that indicates that we are in full control. A person that can control his words or her words is in control of their whole self, mentally and physically and spiritually. Verse 3, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." Just by putting that little thing in their mouth. And it works sometimes. Brother Al said, "I don't ride horses because they don't have brakes." But he did. He rode horses plenty of times. But he preferred electronic or mechanical means. But by that bit, by having control in the mouth, we can turn the horse completely around. Verse 4, "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." Just by turning the wheel, he can make it go one way or the other. All the force that's in it, but just a slight turn of the wheel, a little direction can take it in a completely different course. And the farther you have to go until you reach your destination, the less it takes to really change your course of direction. And the more open water before you, if you will. Verse 5, "Even so the tongue is a little member." Just consider that muscle, that tongue. In comparison with everything else of our body, the totality of the rest of our body, the tongue is a very small part. And yet he says, "Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." It only takes a spark. We used to sing that song in Sunday school years ago. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. Now, all those around can warm within its glowing. That's how it is with God's love once you've experienced it. I want the world to know. And so we see that little bitty fire on a match. That little bitty spark. And then step back. All these wildfires we see, if we could just see where it started. It doesn't have to start with a big flame. It just starts with a little flame. And then it spreads and spreads and spreads and becomes a huge matter and can do a lot of damage. It has great potential to cause trouble. Our words, our mouths, our tongue, as he says here, has a great potential to cause trouble. We have got to be deliberate. We have got to be thoughtful. We've got to be careful with what we say, how we say it. I'm all the time reminding the kids, tone, your tone, just your tone. not just them, but adults that I have influence with, your tone. What's your tone? It's how you say it. It's not what you said. It's how you said it. Sometimes it's not what you said or how you said it. It's when you said it. Words are, they've got to be planted. They've got to be intentional. The tongue is a fire, he says in verse 6. A world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. In other words, and James is dealing with a particular matter here. We understand that as we get through the chapter. But there were things that were being said that were hurtful within the church. And it was causing trouble within the church. We said this morning with Agrippa and Festus and Paul when he was on trial, you know, Agrippa says, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." But what stopped that, Festus? Was it what he said? No, it wasn't even what he said. It was when he said it. He interrupted the work of the Holy Spirit. He interrupted the conviction of God on Agrippa. So that Festus was, he just trying to be smart, trying to be powerful, trying to demean Paul. And he had no concept that he was changing the eternity of someone he respected, someone he revered. We have to be mindful that we may not be in tune to what's going on, but we just need to be careful and think before we say, do I need to say that? Just because it's true doesn't mean it must be said. Just because you know it doesn't mean it must be shared. And there are plenty of things that we know and even think about saying and even start to say. How many of you ever say, well, nah, I'm not going to say that? And then they'll say, come on, go ahead and say it. Go ahead. Come on. Just say no. I've decided that I shouldn't say it. And y'all know I struggle with that sometimes because I start to say something and back off of it. Have to give it a little more thought before I present those words. And it's something that we all struggle with. It says it defiles the whole body. And it says in verse 6, in other words, that last phrase there, he's saying that fire that the tongue started came out of hell. That's where it came from. It was the idea of Satan. It was devilish. It was evil. It was wicked. And it came out of our mouths. We're God's people. The things we say matter. They should matter. They should count for something. The Bible says we'll be held accountable for what? Every idle word. Every idle word. So we shouldn't give ourselves to folly. Verse 7, every kind of beast, birds, serpents, things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. We see what happens when we take an animal. Sometimes you'll see a story of someone who has saved a lion or a bear or something like that. And, it was trapped. And they saved him. Or they came and they fed him or they rescued him from the cold. And we'll see stories how those wild animals came back the next season and brought their babies to show to their rescuer, to their hero. Heartwarming stories. Or we see somebody who gets a pet when that pet is really young and that pet follows them around. You can train all these things, wild animals, to do amazing things. And yet, we can't tame our own tongues. He says it's an unruly evil. By the way, we also read those stories not only of these people who have such relationships with these wild animals and they tame these animals, they train these animals, and they work with those animals, but sometimes we'll read how those trainers and handlers that have so much experience and so much of a good rapport with those animals get attacked by those animals. And the tongue is the same way. And we can spend our entire lives building a reputation and a testimony, not just a general testimony, but in particular with certain people and trying to build those relationships and maybe trying to draw them to Christ. And then one slip of the tongue, and our reputation with that person is ruined. Maybe not everybody hears about it. Maybe not everybody knows that we have loosened our tongue and said such things, but that person knows. And it could change their eternity. It could keep them from coming to Christ because we said something we shouldn't have said. And we're all guilty. We sit here this evening all feeling conviction because we all know that we've done it. We all know how we've done it. Maybe we remember the last time we've done it or maybe a big time that we've done it. He says it's full of deadly poison. Verse 9, therefore bless we God, even the Father, with our tongue. Therewith curse we men which are made after the similitude of God. The same tongue out of one mouth. The same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. We shouldn't be wicked with our mouths at all. We should be blessing and we should be favorable and we should be godly and we should be a blessing. But he says we bless and curse, same mouth, blessing and cursing, and he says it shouldn't be that way. Verse 11, does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? A vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Well, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Sometimes it's not that we didn't mean to say it, we just didn't mean to say it out loud. But it has an impact. The things we say have an impact. Our grumbling, our complaining, our misery, our fussing, our criticism. We don't realize it. Because we're just so loose with our tongues. We just talk too much. Would you agree? We just talk too much. And that's what happens. We don't have control over our tongues. We need to put a leash on it. Hold it back. Verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. What's he saying? He's saying there's some people in the church who say they are one thing and they do another. And how do we know that? Because of the bitterness and the gossip behind the scenes. Verse 15, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. He says, you know, some people gossip in the prayer request. Y'all ever met one of them? They've got news and they want to share it. And so they just, I got a prayer request. It's not a prayer request, it's gossip. Y'all never heard that? Y'all never been around that? I have. And it's not a prayer request. It's just an opportunity to gossip. Maybe not raise their hand in church, but they'll come to you and say, I need to share something with you we need to pray about. They're just gossiping is all it is. They've got something they know and they want to share it. They don't have control over their tongue, don't have control over their spirit. And he said that bitter envy and a strife in your hearts. He said in verse 15, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. It didn't come from God. It's not God motivating us to share it. How many things that I know that I don't share with anybody? Nobody. Just me, the Lord, and the person it came from. And I'll admit to you that sometimes it would be nice to be able to tell somebody what's on my heart, what my burdens are. What's breaking me down? But you know what? I can't. And as a pastor, that's what you would expect. Sat with somebody the other day, and he was talking to me and telling me a whole bunch of stuff. But every few minutes, he'd say, now, I know I can tell you this in confidence. You won't tell anybody. What was he saying? He was saying, this is a secret. Don't share it. And you would hope that you wouldn't have to say that. But, I mean, if that's the case, you need to say that. Because I don't always know when it's a secret. I don't always know when it's something you don't want everybody to know. I got to be very careful what I share because people don't want everybody to know. Verse 16, where envying and strife is, envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. What's going on in this church that James is addressing? Politics. Competition. We don't compete in church. There is no contest. There are no politics. We're not trying to be better than somebody else, and we're not trying to exalt somebody within the church to some position of glory. That's not what church is for. And yet it does happen in some churches. And he says it causes confusion. Verse 17, the wisdom that is from above is first pure. And then it's peaceable. Does God want me to share this? Well, is it pure? Number two, is it peaceable? Is it gentle? Is it easy to be entreated? Is it something that we can all talk about? Is it full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy? The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Our words can be destructive and break the peace. And that's what James is telling us. We could probably reflect on things that have been said that weren't well thought out, weren't deliberate, weren't intelligent. But they were just thrown out there. And guys, I could tell you that stuff like that has the potential to destroy a church and hurt feelings and break hearts and ruin testimonies and dissolve ministries. We got to be careful what we say, how we say it, when we say it. We've got to put our words to the test. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? I know you say, Pastor, there are sometimes things that we have to say that are unkind. That's true. Sometimes to correct something, it doesn't sound kind, but understand the end result is kind. We're trying to help them avoid trouble. And so it is kind. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Father, we love you and we're glad to be in your house and to open your word. And as we look at this, there's probably not a single person in this room that could say he's preaching to somebody else tonight. Because every one of us struggles with what we should say and what we have said. God, get control of our minds, our hearts, our spirits, our bodies, and especially our words. That we would use our words to edify, to build up, to build love, to encourage, to minister. Make our mouths tools of your ministry. Dismiss us with your grace. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.